Pour your Spirit on us today, that we who are Christ's body may bear the good news of your ancient promises to all who seek you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So today we hear Luke saying, beginning his gospel, says, filled with the power of the Spirit, he returned to Galilee. Where was he? Someone remembers? Where was he coming from? Where?
Desert.
From where?
Desert.
That's it. Exactly. The desert. Jesus had just been baptized. And he's a young man. He has received this baptism from John, his cousin. And there's a voice that said, "You are my beloved." Can you imagine what he felt there? This young man who suddenly says, "You are my beloved." That must really pierce his heart. And as a young man, I imagine he was really, really touched. What does this mean? What is my role in life? What am I to do? What is the gift I bring to my people? What is the purpose of my life? And he goes into the desert, into the wilderness, all by himself, and spends a symbolic number, 40 days fasting. If someone wonders how can you be 40 days without fasting, it can be. But more important than the 40, it's a symbolic number. A long time he spends all by himself out in the desert. And there in the desert, he faces his demons. The things we try to avoid, not to look at. And there he squarely faces his demons. And he comes back. And he comes back with a purpose, with a sense of, this is my mission in my life. And Luke has this gospel, this story of today is, the first thing he does when he comes back from the desert, back from the wilderness, back with a sense of purpose, of mission. And he goes to the synagogue of his hometown, where everybody knew him, and he's handed over a scroll, and he unrolls the scroll. And there's just this reading by synchronicity. This reading just pops open and he reads it. A reading that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Closes the book, hands it to the attendant, and all the eyes are looking at him, fixed on him. And he says, "Today, that passage has been fulfilled in your hearing," and sits down. Can you imagine? For Luke, this gospel is the heart. We could stop the whole story of the gospel right here. For Luke, he is saying, this is the heart of Christ's message. This is the heart of what he wanted to communicate. His mission, his message was condensed in these few lines of the prophet Isaiah. This is the whole of the gospel. Sadly, the churches we've got entertained with other stuff. On Thursday, we have our little Eucharist on Thursday, and we talk, and people are asking, why doesn't the church talk more about this? We like to entertain ourselves with nice costumes and distractions. They're nice. I'm not condemning. I love all these things. They're pretty cute and nice and beautiful, and they make our ceremonies much better. Beautiful. But they can be an entertainment. They could be a distraction to take us away from this message, the message that Jesus was talking about. What I'm all about is bring good news to the poor, release the captives, give sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And you know what that year of the Lord's favor was? Every 50 years, there was an amnesty. Anyone who had debts was forgiven. Anyone who had lost their property because they had gotten into a debt, they received their property back. It was a day, a year of forgiveness, and anyone who had debt, anyone who had become enslaved because of their debts, was liberated and proclaimed free. The foreigners who were present were giving their rights that year. This passage that Luke underlines so strongly is the heart and the core of the message of Jesus. He understands his mission is for the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed. What he's meaning is his message is for the marginal, those excluded from social or religious contexts because of gender, because of age, because of economic destitution, physical infirmities, or religious impurity. Where did Jesus learn all this? Out and about? He learned it from his mom. His mom, Mary, when she received her mission, she erupted in a canticle, in a song. And in the song she said, God scattered the bluffing braggarts, knocked down the tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a rich banquet, and the callous rich were left out in the cold. Those are Mary's words. And that is where Jesus learned the core of his passion and his mission. This is what Jesus is all about. And again, sadly, churches have been more intent on upholding beliefs and practices and laws that are good, but once they become divorced of this central message of Jesus, they lose their meaning. Let us reclaim, reinterpret our creeds, our dogmas, our laws, and our practices in church from this perspective of Jesus. What Jesus taught us today is like an eyeglass that helps us see better what this is all about. And just to give an example, many times we need to discard certain beliefs, practices, or traditions that are not in alignment with this core message of Jesus. For example, this past Friday, the Anglican Church, Church of England, celebrated 75 years the first time we ordained a woman as a priest. 75 years this past Friday. And it was in China. The bishop in China, it was the 1940s. During the war, Japanese Empire invades China. They cannot send priests to Macau, a colony off the coast of China. And this woman, this young Chinese woman, whose name is Lim Ting Oi, and her name means my beloved daughter. That was the name his dad gave her. This woman is a lay leader. And there are no priests. The priests can't travel to Macau. The bishop says, you're doing the job of a priest already. Might as well just ordain you. This priest went against centuries of tradition of the church. Centuries of practice and beliefs that women cannot hold office in church. And he said, the needs of the people are more important. And she is already a priest. Let me just do the ceremony and make her what she is already. The bishop wrote this word, ordain her a priest of God, because God had clearly shown that God had already given her the gift of priesthood. She suffered for this. 2 years later, she renounced her license, not her vows. She said, I'm still a priest. I will not practice, because it was such a controversy. The bishop, the men in the church could not accept a woman priest. And she suffered greatly by the church and by the Chinese government. She was sent to re-education camp, where she thought many times of committing suicide. And 40 years later, she met with the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was not too keen on having women in ministry. And he introduced herself. She introduced herself to him, and they had a conversation. And afterwards, reported that he, the bishop, Archbishop of Canterbury, spoke with another bishop and said, who am I to say whom God can or cannot call? The Reverend Lee Tim Oi said, Christianity was a gift of the West to the East, but my ordination was a gift from the east to the west. So it's a beautiful story of how the gospel message sometimes needs us to break and discard and put aside rules and beliefs that do not align with the core message that Jesus presented us in the gospel we just heard. Today we will celebrate the baptism of Jacob Rex Stevenson. And I want to acknowledge the words we'll use. Some of them are kind of strange. They're old, ancient. But I want to, as we do this ceremony, look at them through the lens of the gospel we just heard. The gospel of liberation, of caring for the poor, of bringing peace and reconciliation to our world. So I will start the ceremony. So we begin.